Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we take a journey to Salt Lake City, Utah, with our guest, Dwayne Atkinson. Dwayne was born and raised in the northern Utah area, Ogden, north of Salt Lake City, and he also spent time in Southern California in Oxnard. He was educated in Utah through high school, went to Weber State University, majoring in architecture, but continued his education. Raised in the predominant religion of the area, the Latter-day Saints Mormon, he served a church mission to South Korea. He has since left organized religion, and he has been in a relationship since 1987. That's a long time. Congratulations.
Thank you.
They were legally married in Oakland, California, when it was legal in California, and then again in Salt Lake after the federal recognition of same-sex marriage. His employment is in fire protection, and he worked in the Salt Lake area for 8 years and currently in the Oakland, San Francisco, California area for 27 years, but remains living in Salt Lake City, Utah. So how does that work? You've traveled back and forth?
Yeah, as needed. Early on in my career there, I was traveling every single week. Okay. And then later, you know, with technology caught up, I was able to work more remotely.
Okay. And Dwayne also lived downtown Salt Lake since 2002. They recently sold their condo and live in South Ogden. They enjoy the Salt Lake City community vibe, since Dwayne is a city guy, his husband not so much. He's part of the neighborhood community, but also supported the gay community, but he's not active or involved in the community. He has already planned for retirement locations and has a tiny home in Littlefield, Arizona. Boy, it must be so little. I never heard of it. It's a sliver of Arizona between Utah and Nevada. And also he has a place in Baltimore, Maryland. They chose to remain in northern Utah for their primary retirement location. Hobbies are camping and maybe considered glamping. Gay camping. Hiking in the summer, snowshoeing in the winter, riding the side-by-side in the mountains and desert, attending local car shows, local community festivals, small venue music concerts, evening with friends, enjoying dinner and wine. He's still working, but enjoys traveling when they can to different places around the country and sometimes around the world. Dwayne, thank you so much for coming to the podcast, and tell us a little bit about your life in Salt Lake City. You've been there for quite some time. Did you ever live outside of Utah besides California? Give us a little background.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I did. I mean, like I said, growing up, I was always living in Southern California during the summer months and came back to Utah to go to school during the school years. So I spent a lot of time outside of the state of Utah, which made for a very great perspective to be living here, having that, you know, perspective from different locations. But I also, before I moved back to Utah, I was living out of the country for quite a few years, and I came back to take care of a parent. And so that's why I ended up living back in Utah. I didn't actually intend on living here or maybe even retiring here, but I did come back home. And that's how I ended up coming and moving back to Utah.
Gotcha. So tell the audience, geographically, where is Salt Lake City located in the state of Utah?
It's considered northern Utah, the northern part of Utah. And yet obviously we have the all the way down the southern part, a little bit more desert, and the north part, a little bit more mountainous and wintry.
So Salt Lake City gets wintry. Tell us about the climate there. Are summers hot and dry, or do you have like monsoons like we do here in Arizona and Phoenix?
It's the summers are hot and the winters are cold, obviously. And during the summer, there is kind of that month of in the summer, you get a little bit of monsoon, a little bit more rains, but it's usually hot and dry. You know, gets into the recent years, it's been getting into the, you know, 105, 107, 110 range some days. We have, you know, those 17 days plus. And this year, obviously, like everyone else, we had record days of number of hot days. But yeah, we do have the hot summers here, mostly dry. And then the cool spring and fall, and then cold winters.
Cold winters, right? What does it go down to in the winter?
Well, you know, you obviously, you know, you get down into the teens and the single digit numbers at night, and during the day you'll be back up into, you know, around freezing sometimes. On some good warm winter days, you're in the low 40s. You know, you have your a lot of times what we call a January thaw. I guess have a few days or a week in January we have some low 40s, which is nice and warm, right? So it's a warming trend
for you. Yeah, for you, right? Not for me.
It definitely has the four seasons for the climate here.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't think it would get that cold, but I guess, yeah, in Utah mountains, it's beautiful. I mean, I've seen pictures of Salt Lake City. It's absolutely beautiful. It's gorgeous. Looking at the mountains and back of the city, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful city, and literally is right at the base of the mountains. I mean, and I think Salt Lake is an elevation around 4,000, 4,200 feet to start with, and then your mountains go up to, you know, 9,000, a couple of areas, 10,000 elevation for the peaks on the mountains in the area. So we're already at a elevation. It's a, you know, it's a high desert, but yeah, so yeah, we're definitely north and high.
So 4,000 is not bad. Because I remember, like, Santa Fe, New Mexico is around 7,000, I think.
Yeah.
So is there, I mean, as you go up the mountain, do you have homes that are on the mountain too? Elevation?
The foothills, or what they call it around here, they call the benches, the foothills. They have houses up there, you know, they're up to the, you know, 6,000 elevation, because you have the hills go literally out from downtown Salt Lake and go up to those elevations. The homes are built up the hillsides.
Wow.
And then Park City, of course, obviously that higher elevation up the canyon from Salt Lake, you get to that automatically, that, you know, 7,000 foot elevation right into Park City.
Then the air gets a little thinner up there too.
Yes. And for those that are used to the lower elevations, it's definitely a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, I'd be.
Right?
Yep. Do you get a lot of rain at all?
You know, it's not considered a lot of rain. Your spring rains, and then the little bit of the summer monsoons, and a lot of the fall rains. It's not a really, you know, it's not a rainy climate really at all.
It sounds really nice, except for the cold winter is not for me personally, but there are people who love the winter and love skiing. So.
Well, and we do, we enjoy the winter, and we don't mind getting out and enjoying the winter climate. You know, the snowshoeing and such. So there are plenty of things to do in the winter, you know, and if you don't like it, you just stay indoors with the heater on.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, I have to visit one day, and I have to even check out the winter, because although I'm getting used to very warm climates, I used to live in New York, and, you know, I would think New York winter is probably different than Salt Lake City winter. I don't know. It probably feels different. So it's just something I'd like to check out sometime, maybe for a quick getaway.
Stop in for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Get some hot chocolate and say, okay, I experienced it. So you said in the summer it gets warm. I'm sure there's some quick getaways where you can get cooler because of the mountains, right?
Correct. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of people have, you know, go camping up to the hills where it's cool. You know, you drop in temperature, you know, 10 to 15 degrees. When you go up to that higher elevation, it's cooler up in the mountains and the trees and the canyons. A little bit of water up there makes it a little bit more refreshing.
Oh, nice. Nice. And glamping. You do some glamping?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We gave up the camping days years ago. No more tents and sleeping bags. You know, it's glamour
camping.
It's a trailer with a mattress and, you know, a screen gazebo to keep the bugs away. And, you know.
You know what my idea of camping is? Going to a 4-star or 5-star hotel.
Yeah. No, we still like being out in the wilderness a little bit, you know, but just a little bit more taken care of when you're out there.
Right. That's sort of camping. Right. at least it's semi-camping.
Right.
So yeah, glamping sounds good. So All right. So is there any type of LGBTQ community in Salt Lake City? I know Salt Lake has, I think they have a vibrant, don't they have a vibrant gay community there?
They actually do. And it's really odd thinking about, you know, a very predominant conservative Christian religion dominating the state. And yet Salt Lake is very
liberal,
more liberal. And there is a strong gay community, which is really, it's really nice. It's odd, but it works out great. You know, they do have a nice community. Just not many gay bars. We have a few gay bars. They have a lot of community activities. They have a gay pride, a large gay pride. They have a pride center that provides services to the younger generation and seniors in the community as well. So there's a lot of activities.
Wow, that sounds kind of refreshing that it's like a little oasis, you know, that they have definitely, they've built a gay community there and they don't have any problems with organized religion and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, there's always those issues out there, obviously, and the hate crimes, you know, as they're not extreme here, but they are on the rise, you know, the little minor confrontations and such, they are on the rise here, like probably are everywhere else with things going on with in the areas. But yeah, I am not real negative since I grew up with the predominant religion here as a Mormon. I'm not real negative towards it, although I don't no longer agree with it. I find they are very, because of their beliefs, they're a little bit more kind about it. They're not hateful. They're not mean. They're not cruel. They may not agree with you. They may not like you, but they don't hate you. So it makes it a little bit easier to get along with them.
Right. Gotcha. So is living in a LGBTQ community important to you?
Yes and no. I mean, it's nice to have, but it's not the main focus at this point in my life. I'm a little bit more of the overall community and not specifically the gay community. I know a lot of people feel differently about that, but I, you know, grew up in neighborhoods where we were the only gay couple at the time, and we became very good friends with all of our neighbors. So I'm a part of the community. I don't necessarily, I learned to build a community up with the people around me. Yes, we have gay friends out there, different cities around, we get together, but it's more of I don't absolutely have to have a gay community to be in the area where I live.
Okay. All right. Does Salt Lake City have like a gayborhood? Is there like an area of Salt Lake that they have the gay bars and they have restaurants and retail and stuff like that?
Yeah, so there are like, I think there's probably three locations kind of considered the gayborhoods. One of the areas is mostly where a lot of the gay community would live, meaning not necessarily a lot of gay retail or things like that, but that a lot of people from a prominent area for the gay community to live in the foothills between actually downtown and the Capitol building. It's called the Avenues. That's a really nice area, older homes, part of the, you know, original area where Salt Lake was developed. And so that's where a lot of us live. And then of course there's an area called 9th and 9th. A lot of, you know, gay owned coffee shops, bookstores, a little bit more of the retail, and also from that area, again, a lot of the gay community live in that area as well. So that was kind of the original gayborhood of Salt Lake. And then there's another gay friendly area kind of just slightly south and east of Salt Lake. It's called Sugar House. It's another kind of predominantly gay area, you know, a favorite area for us all to live and hang out.
Sugar House sounds sweet.
Yes. Sweet spot.
Okay. Three gayborhoods. So, okay, definitely looking to check that out. So how easy is it to make friends in Salt Lake? Is the gay community friendly? Are they kind of like, are there different meetup groups and stuff like that where you can meet people?
They do have a lot of the groups out there. If you look it up, you can, you know, whether you're into bingo or hiking or just walking or, you know, movies, whatever, they have a lot of different gay sponsored groups for those types of things. Now that, you know, how friendly it is, you know, with every community, you're going to have your different cliques, your different snobs or, you know, whatever. So that's definitely out there. So depends on how sociable you are would be how easy or difficult it is. I'm not as sociable. My husband is very sociable. So, you know, we're able to make a lot of friends because of him. Otherwise, I would have just a couple of friends and sit home a lot more. So, you know, you kind of have to put yourself out there a little bit and get out there and meet people. But it's really not that difficult. There are what I found a lot of, you know, groups to get together with, to find friends.
Understand. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the local economy. For instance, if I was looking to purchase a condo in Salt Lake City, what am I looking for? What am I looking at in terms of price approximately for like a two bedroom, two bath?
You know, with real estate, it's always about location, but you know, an 800 square foot condo is, you know, depending on the location, the building, whatever, is going to be from 300 to 700,000. That's a large range, but the prices have obviously gone up in the last few years, almost doubled for a lot of those condos that are right downtown. So housing has become a little bit more expensive than it has been. Like I recently sold my condo for 800 square feet, $425.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And that's not an extremely large condo either.
No, but it was literally right downtown.
Oh, okay. So it's primary area.
Yeah. You step out and you drop down to, you know, 300,000.
Okay, because 400,000 is expensive.
And then you get out to the houses, and you're, you know, 425, 750 range for houses, you know, some of the bungalows and such outside the downtown area. You know, so
yeah, we're talking like, let's say I wanted a condo and it was, I don't know if they exist, but right now I'm living in one with 1,700 square feet. So if I had a 1,700 square feet condo, would I be paying $600,000 downtown?
Downtown, you're looking closer to $800,000 for that price range, up to the 1.2.
Wow, nice.
So,
I mean,
that's right downtown. You know, you move outside that area, you can get it more of a townhouse with, you know, with that square footage, and you drop quite a few hundred thousand off of that.
Got it. Just because
you can't get it for the 500,000-600,000.
Got it. Okay. How about tell us a little bit about cost of living and expenses? So groceries, cable bills, electric bills, water bills, stuff like that. What's that like?
I think they're typical to other cities as far as cost of, you know, electricity and food costs. I don't think there's much difference there. You know, obviously, right downtown, some stores, because they would have to pay for their lease space, maybe, you know, they mark up their prices slightly, but it's pretty much the same as it is anywhere else. You know, again, you have your local tax that is the food tax. You have that in Utah, but they have reduced it and removed it from, you know, milk and eggs and the basics. They've changed the tax on that, where they used to have a food tax on everything across the board. They changed that. Now the only tax, you know, your bag of potato chips are taxed, but milk and eggs type stuff is not, you know.
Although, right. Got it.
And they do have, you know, taxes on, yeah, the electric bills, again, I don't know how to make a comparison, but again, I don't think from what I pay at my other property, they don't appear to be much different than other states for the cost of electricity. Okay. And a lot of people here have natural gas, which is a little bit more affordable than oil like they would have back east, or all electric they would have in other states. They do have the natural gas, which is a little bit more affordable than electricity, I believe.
How about taxes? Are they high, like sales tax? And
yeah, they are, actually. I believe they're a little bit higher in Utah. You know, you have your 6.5% sales tax on general merchandise, sometimes 8%, depending on what it is, right? And then my property tax seemed like it was pretty expensive for my, you know, 800 square foot condo was $2,600 a year, you know, which seemed pretty expensive to me.
Yeah.
For property tax.
Yeah. For 800 square feet. Yeah. Cause I'm paying, I think, 2,800 too as well. And it's 1,700 square feet. So yeah, it seems.
Yeah. So it's a value based tax. They don't have a Prop 13 like California, where you kind of set your tax at the price and the value you paid for your home when you purchased it, and then, you know, minimal increases based on the on changes. But, you know, this is based on the value as the value goes up.
Okay. Tell us about, how about rentals? If I wanted to rent an apartment, like a one or two bedroom apartment, what are we looking at as far as costs?
Recently, they've gone up as well because of housing demands. But you still find things for, it's a broad range, but anywhere from $800-$900 to $1,800, depending on your location and the amenities you want with the apartment. Right. If you need a gym and a pool, whatever, so it's obviously going to be the $1,800 range for that.
Yeah, I'm spoiled. I need, even though I don't use it.
I
just want it being there just in case I want to use it.
Yeah, you'd be paying the $1,800 then.
Right. I'm so bad. I know. I don't know what to do. Tell us about Salt Lake City's arts and culture scene. Does it have any theater, museums and galleries and stuff like that?
It does. And actually, the community is really supportive. The community in general is very supportive of the arts. They have Utah Opera, which is well established. They have Ballet West, and they have another repertory theater group as well, a dance group. They have a fairly new, beautiful theater for the touring Broadway shows and some local Broadway shows. And they, it's a beautiful, huge theater that can, where they can have the larger productions with no issues. Previously, they had a smaller theater. And they couldn't get all the touring Broadway shows. So now they're able to get all those. They have a lot of smaller community theater groups as well that are actually really, really well done. So we really enjoy those. There are some, modern art museums, basic, regular art museums. And there actually is a lot of that in the community. I'm really surprised how supportive the community is and how much funding they provide to help support that in the community.
Wow. Are they all located like in the downtown area? Are they accessible?
Most of them are, yes. Some are a little bit farther, like there's one theater a little bit farther south of Salt Lake in the South Valley, they call it. But yeah, most of them are located within mostly, the Salt Lake area.
Is the theater, like the traveling Broadway theater, is that downtown as
well?
Yeah,
it's right downtown, yeah.
So is downtown at all walkable? Like if I live there, could I walk to like the grocery or restaurants?
Definitely.
Oh, really?
And we were able to do that, definitely.
They have a
great grocery store. I mean, a beautiful, huge grocery store right downtown. And that's really helped to bring in people to live downtown because they don't have to leave the area for groceries. They have a couple more just barely outside of downtown where all more of the five-story apartments, the townhouse are all are. They have another grocery store there. And I think they planned for that because they knew it was important to be able to build a community there. They needed those resources, the food, a couple of gas stations, those types of things, smaller retail in those areas. It's very walkable to all of that.
So you live there, right? Like walkable?
Yes. Yes.
So that's great. So you can walk to the grocery?
Yes.
Do you ever walk or do you take your car?
I just walk.
You do?
Yeah. I walk to the grocery store. Where I lived, it was only a block.
How about like a pharmacy and a bank and, some essential restaurants? Can you walk?
All right, down. Literally, you could walk two blocks here, two blocks there and be able to find, CVS, Walgreens, restaurants.
Wow.
Right within downtown.
Wow. So downtown is, that's the place.
Yes.
Yes.
And even the large grocery store that was a block away had a pharmacy in it as well. So it was very convenient.
That's great. So you have your own little walkable community.
Yeah.
I got to look that up on, what is that, walkscore.com and see what the walk score is for Salt Lake.
And they also have some really great, they've integrated some bike lanes downtown they've really tried to create a very bikeable city as well.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. That's what I want in retirement. It's like, I don't want to drive. I'm a spoiled New Yorker. New Yorkers, they took the subway all their lives. They got used to the subway and transportation. Everything was at their fingertips. So if I wanted a Starbucks, it would be up the block. If I wanted a restaurant, it would be up the, everything was walkable in Manhattan, at least.
It was very similar downtown Salt Lake. I had that type of experience.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not New York, but yeah.
Right. But my type of retirement is just like, hey, have a place, be able to walk to all of these places, and hey, you get exercise too that way.
Well, you'd have to bundle up here if you go out in the winter.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you have to unbundle here in the summer.
There you go. It's a balance.
Yes. So that's interesting. Do you have a car?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is gas expensive?
It is in Utah. I believe it's higher than most places because they have a high gas tax, you know, to maintain the roads and the infrastructure there. It's a high gas tax, I believe, in my opinion.
It's
higher than most states.
What's the per gallon price approximately right now?
Currently, it's like $4 a gallon, $4.07 a gallon, $4.09 range, where, you know, other places might be $3.75, you know.
Yeah, it's still not bad. Phoenix is pretty high compared to every place else. And California is even higher.
Yeah, California's even higher, yeah.
California's like, I don't know if they're up to $7.
So it's very affordable compared to California.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. So it's all in perspective, I guess. But when I go to Maryland, it's cheaper back east.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember when I lived in Florida, I was like, oh my God, it's so cheap, the gas here.
Yeah.
But okay, so how about restaurants? Let's talk about food. One of my favorite subjects. Are there any good restaurants in Salt Lake, and what can you get, and can you walk there?
There again, yeah, you can walk to most of them from when you're right downtown, and they have some great local restaurants. They have some local brew pubs, which is, again, a really odd thing for Utah, but there's quite a few of them, and some really good beers. Actually, some really good whiskeys are manufactured here in Utah, surprisingly. So you have all that downtown. There are some really great restaurants, whether you want, you know, a gourmet ramen place you can walk to, or sushi, or, you know, deep fried, you know, chicken tenders, whatever you want, or some high end steak and really fine French restaurants as well. You do have that.
So they have it all. They have any like 5-star Michelin rated restaurant?
I don't think they have, you know, I don't follow that as much as I could, but I don't think they have any 5-star restaurants here in Salt Lake. They might have one up in Park City where all the outside tourists come that would maybe expect that. They have a little bit more fine dining up there because of the clientele. Downtown, you have some really good restaurants, good food, good restaurants. I don't know about the rating of them.
Okay. Not a problem. Where do people come to ski? Do they ski in Salt Lake or do they go to Park City?
It's a mix. It's only 40 minutes, maybe a little bit less from downtown Salt Lake, literally downtown, maybe from the airport downtown to Park City. A lot of people just stay in Salt Lake, right downtown, and then they'll go up to the resorts in Park City. But there's also other resorts that are not in Park City that are really great resorts. And so people will actually stay in Salt Lake and go to those resorts rather than going to Park City.
Now tell me about those resorts. Now I'm curious.
So
what kind of resorts are there?
Ski resorts. There's ski resorts, and they also have summer activities with your zip lines and biking and hiking in the summer, obviously, these same resorts. Snowbird is a phenomenal resort, one of the most popular ones, and it's most developed. It has a hotel actually up at the resort and some really fine restaurants and fun activities of a Snowbird up, you know. And then there's Alta and Brighton, some of the smaller ones, well-established, have been around ever since I was a young kid. And, you know, they're still really...
Do you ski?
Currently, I do not, but I did my entire life since I was probably 10.
Back really?
Then, we had table bindings and lace boots, right? So I started very young.
Oh, they don't have that anymore? That's how old they are.
Right.
That's how, that was the last time.
Yeah, technology has advanced slightly for us, right? So I went to Snow Basin a little bit farther north, to a resort that was farther north called Snow Basin. Love it. That's where I grew up skiing. It's more in the Ogden area. And from my house, it's maybe 25 minutes max from my house. So it's very close by, very convenient, very, you know, accessible with a nice freeway and highway up to the resort. And yeah, but
Why'd you give it up?
Just some limitations physically. Had to give it up. So I still crave it. Some winters, like last winter, we had a phenomenal winter with the amount of snow. And I just, some days I just craved to go skiing and I couldn't. So it was frustrating.
That's one craving I don't really have.
Okay.
I mean, coffee. Yeah. I crave coffee. You can't really say I crave skiing now. It probably goes back to my younger years where I used to go upstate, and from work, I used to plan these ski trips upstate New York to these skiing resorts. And we have a bunch of people, a couple of busloads go up there. But, you know, I was always the beginner skier. And one time I was following my friend. I knew nothing about skiing, and he's showing me, all right, this is the way you snowplow, but you're going this way, you go this way. And then all of a sudden, like in the middle of the mountain, there were like five people in a circle, like blocking my way. And I'm like, oh my God, what are they doing just like standing around talking? And literally, I think I was like the bowling ball and they were the pins. Right. Because I went, I couldn't stop. And some of them landed on the floor. I landed on the floor. And
you keep at it, you get better. And it was a great sport. It's great to be out in the outdoors.
Sure.
That's probably why I enjoy the climate, enjoy winter, because I was very involved in winter activities out there, you know.
Yeah.
Out playing in the snow, I didn't mind it. So I don't mind the cold weather. Our vacations are more, you know, cold weather climates. We're not the type of people that hang out at the beach in the heat. We are more, you know, Norway, Iceland, yep. South tip of Argentina, Alaska. That's more our style of vacations.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. Hey, you know what? There's a big population that prefer cold over warm too. So, and love the winter months and skiing and stuff like that. So, okay. I get a little education here. Tell us about, does Salt Lake City have any public transportation to get around, or is everything either foot or car?
No, they actually have light rail, a really extensive light rail system that goes all the way to the south end of the valley. They call it the old Salt Lake Valley. So it goes to the south end of the valley, the southwest end, up to the east side by the university, all the way out to the airport. So you could literally take the light rail from the airport downtown, everywhere you need to go.
That's important.
It is.
That was a smart move.
Yeah, they extended the light rail out to there as part of the program. When we did the airport here recently, they extended the light rail out to the airport. They also have a commuter train, so that goes all the way from down the kind of the Provo-Orem area where a lot of the tech is now, and that commuter train goes up into downtown Salt Lake. Same with up north, you know, about 40 miles north in Ogden has the same commuter train come into Salt Lake as well.
Is Provo south?
South.
South.
Yeah, Provo is south, and Ogden is north.
It's a big town too, right?
Yeah. And all those towns, have, over the years, they've grown together. It used to be separate. You know, you had your pocket, you Salt Lake, and then Ogden to the north and Provo to the south. Now it's community all the way, connected all the way, north to south.
And it's all connected by train? Like commuter?
Yeah, commuter train and, of course, freeways, and it's developed all the way between here and there.
That's great. I mean, that's really good. And it's so important to connect light rail with the city, the downtown, and I think the airport.
Yes.
Because, I mean, here in Phoenix, we have a light rail right across the street from our condo. And it's so convenient to go to the airport. We don't drive to the airport anymore. Why leave the car, park it, spend money? We take our suitcase on the light rail. In 20 minutes, we're at the airport.
Yeah, it's very convenient.
You know,
and we would do that when we were downtown. It was very convenient. Actually, very easy. For that reason, you didn't have to drive out there and pay for long-term parking.
What's the traffic situation in Salt Lake? Unfortunately,
since it's a growing city, it's traffic is getting worse and worse. And they've recently tried to promote some expanding of adding more lanes, right, and promoting using more light rail to get people off of those added lanes. But yes, it's you have your you know 5 o'clock commute type thing. This could be pretty
rush hour.
Yeah, it can be all pretty backed up on some days. but it's not as bad as other big cities. And Salt Lake's not really a big city yet, but it's definitely not as congested as other cities.
What was the population?
Actually, the downtown area, I believe, is literally like the downtown area is just over 200,000. But the Salt Lake Valley, the Salt Lake area, is like 1.2
million,
I believe. And then the entire state is only like 3.5 million.
So most of it's in Salt Lake.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of it is in Salt Lake area.
And 200,000, it's a nice size city.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not too big, not too small. I think it's just right. Sounds good to me. So it gets trafficy like rush hour, right?
Yeah, in the mornings and the evenings, obviously, but for the most part during the day and some, you know, if there's an event going on downtown, there's a sports event that can be a little bit congested, or any large conventions can be a little bit congested down, literally downtown, and getting, you know, the off ramps into the city can be a little bit backed up, but it's not horrible to the point like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to go downtown. Just forget it. You know, you don't ever get that feeling.
Do you have like an arena downtown where they have concerts, like where you can see concerts? Like
there's a really large arena right downtown where they have the jazz basketball games. And then farther south, the south end of the valley, have a large stadium for the Real soccer team.
Okay. Gotcha. Interesting. I'm getting to like Salt Lake City more and more every time, you know. It's a nice, it seems like a nice place to at least visit and vacation. Do most people visit during the winter or the summer?
Well, it's interesting. They actually both, because you obviously the biggest part of tourism they promote is the skiing. So you have a large amount of visitors in the winter,
right?
You know, people who want to experience that winter and ski, you have a lot of tourists in the winter. And then because of the amount of hiking that's available in the hills and the camping, you have a lot of people visiting in the summer. As well. Yeah. It's really an odd both season, you know, type of use for the area.
But I would imagine in the summer, it's not like Phoenix where you have to get up at 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. to get out. And if you wanted to hike, do it before like 6 a.m, do it at 6 a.m. or else you'll die of heat exhaustion.
Right. And it does get hot up in the hills, hiking, obviously. So we'll usually do it, you know, earlier mornings, but you don't want to go out and start your hike at high noon.
Right, right.
Yeah. It still gets too warm.
Yeah, that reminds me of the dumb thing I did in Florida. I'm mowing my lawn, and it's like 90-something degrees with 100% humidity. And I'm mowing my lawn at 12 noon. And I'm like, wait a minute. I really feel like I'm going to pass out.
Yeah.
So I like stop mowing the lawn.
I mean, you can always get a great tea time at noon because it's the warmest period of the day. So there's always a tea time available. So
there you go. There you go. So tell us a little bit about crime. What's crime like? Will I feel safe going out at night if I had to walk my dog to go to the bathroom at 3 a.m, 2 a.m, would I feel safe?
For the most part, I think you would. I mean, there's obviously areas where you wouldn't want to do that, like any city. Mm-hmm. And there are bad areas, so to speak, of town where you probably would not want to do that. But for the most part, yeah, we always felt safe. I don't think there's ever felt threatened and, you know, hey, I'm not going out at this time of night, forget it. I've never quite felt like that. You know, obviously, be smart, be safe, watch your surroundings. But I don't think it's really, you know, an unsafe city.
Right. Is there a big homeless population?
Unfortunately, yes. It's grown. And the previous mayor made some decisions. Again, I don't get into politics too much, sorry. But to kind of diversify the main location and separate it to spread out the issue. And it's made it more difficult for the homeless people to get their resources where it used to be a main location closer to downtown. The mayor didn't want those homeless people around downtown. So they tried to scatter the resources a little bit, and it's made it more difficult. So more of them are just hanging out downtown. So it's a growing problem. Mm-hmm. Like any city recently, it's becoming more and more difficult. So
are they like building tents?
Yes. Yes, there's areas where they have the, you know, encampments for homeless encampments. And the police have come in and pushed them out, and there's been protests.
Where do they go? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a growing problem everywhere.
It's a big problem everywhere in America.
Yeah, but it is growing here in Salt Lake as well, unfortunately.
We got to do as the Europeans do. They take care of their own, you know, people take care of their own family and stuff like that. So we got to be better at doing that.
Yeah.
As far as crime, and are there any 55 plus communities there and gated communities in Salt Lake City area? I'm sure they're going to be in the outskirts.
Yeah, there are obviously up in more of the suburbs, a little bit farther out from downtown. There are those, you know, you're talking about 55 plus condominium communities and some gated communities as well up in the area where we've recently relocated. They do exist. There's not as many of them as you would see in Arizona or California, but they are here.
Do you live in a gated community?
No, it's a condominium complex where we recently moved to, and it's mostly older folks like ourselves, but they do have a lot of families there as well. It's a little bit mixed, but it's mostly an older community.
Without being 55 and older.
Correct.
Older.
Yeah, it's older. It's legally designated as a 55 plus.
55. Okay. But that's good. You know, you don't have little kids screaming and running around. So
No.
That's up my alley.
You see, I don't know, these large families have all their grandkids come to visit, you know, these large families. So there's always grandkids around.
Yes. And they have large families.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. All righty. So tell us about the healthcare. Healthcare is such an important topic wherever you retire. What's the healthcare like in Salt Lake City? Are there hospitals around? Do I have to go somewhere else?
No, there's actually some really large hospitals and health services in the area. Obviously, you know, Hunter Cancer Institute is up by the University of Utah and all the research there. It's a really large, predominant hospital, University of Utah Hospital and the Huntsman Cancer Institute. So it's very accessible for the community there, as well as right downtown, like from where we live, there was a hospital just a few blocks away. And then there was also one mid-valley farther down, and there's also one a little bit farther up the hill as well. So there's quite a few hospitals just right in that general area. So it's very accessible for healthcare for the community.
So if you needed surgery, you'd feel comfortable going to one of the local hospitals?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So they have a regional hospital, which is connected to, Mountain Star, something like that, the healthcare, Intermountain Healthcare, and University of Utah Healthcare. There's three main health systems in the area. And I feel comfortable going to any of those for surgeries.
And is your doctor, is it nearby? Do you have to travel, take the car, or can you even walk to your doctor?
I take a car to the doctor, to that location. Uh-huh. It's not as easy for, you know, light rail or commuter rail to get there. So I would drive to that, but it's very accessible.
Very good. Very good. How about dentists? They have plenty. Oh, and what's the wait time to get to see a doctor or dentist? Is there a long wait? Like, you're going to wait 2 weeks to get in?
I've usually had, like, to schedule an appointment, it's been a few days, you know, 3 or 4 days. If I don't plan ahead, sometimes it is like a week and a half. If you want to get in to see like a ear specialist or something, yeah, you can have a 2 week wait, maybe sometimes a month. But for the most part, it's, you know, you're a week out. And they also have the InstaCare Now Care facilities. If you can't get into your doctor, you can definitely go to a care facility that have the InstaCare Now Care. You know,
what's that?
You don't have to have kind of like a miniature ER.
Like an urgent care?
Urgent care, yeah. InstaCare, Now Care, urgent care, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, same type of thing. Those are, they have quite a few of those around in the community for people to get access to.
That's
good. The dentist, don't make me think about the dentist. I need to make an appointment. That reminds me. I've got a crown I've got an issue with. But yeah, again, it's easy to make an appointment, you know, like a week out.
Story of my life.
It's easy, but I don't want to do it. I keep putting it off.
doctors or dentists. Oh my God. It's like, you know what? When you retire, it's like you have to retire because there's so many doctors you got to see. It's crazy. How can you work and do both?
Right.
It's like, oh my God, every day I'm like something else. It's like a day after my birthday, I have my physical. I don't know why. At least
after your birthday, it's not before, you know, it doesn't ruin your day.
Well, yeah, if I want to drink, have a martini before, it's not good for the blood test.
Can't do that. Gotta wait. That'll disrupt your lab tests.
So it's unbelievable. It's like in the past week, I had the flu shot, the COVID shot, the RSV shot, the pneumonia shot, had all of those shots just in a week. So it's crazy.
Hey, got it all done. It's all over with now.
That's true. It's behind me for at least for now.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you wish that you don't have in Salt Lake City that you might have had elsewhere, maybe in California or anything? Is there anything that's lacking there?
I don't know. I guess I can't really think of anything off the top of my head because I guess I'm familiar with what I have. My biggest thing is I wish we didn't have the controlled liquor commission so I get the wines I wanted. Oh. So right now, being in Utah, you can't ship wine to Utah from a winery, from a vineyard, chateau. You can't ship it to Utah because it has to go through the alcohol, you know, beverage control commission.
Really?
You can't just ship wine to your house. It's not legal. So the vineyards can't do that. So, and they have wine stores, they have liquor stores in the community, and they're accessible. There's plenty of them, but you can't get all the wines you would normally want. If you find a wine, you're somewhere, you're in France and Bordeaux, and you want to get this wine when you get back home, you're not going to get it. It's not available, Utah. And you can't have the chateau in Bordeaux ship it to you because it's not legally allowed for them to do that, to ship to Utah. So that's one of the things I wish we had here. Wow, but if you don't drink, it's not an issue. You're just fine. You
know? Right. I've never heard of that anywhere else.
Yeah, I think the state they have, there's a few other states that have the same issue. Yeah, Utah's not the only place.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a religious thing?
No, I think it might be more of a tax thing. You want to tax and control the liquor in the state, you know?
Because you can go into a wine store or a liquor store, purchase the liquor, but you can't have it shipped anywhere. Wow.
Right. And
can you take it back with you? Let's say I went to Bordeaux and I had a couple of bottles that I put on the plane.
Yes.
You can.
Yeah. It's got to be in your checked bag. Obviously, you can't get through TSA with liquids anymore. But yes, you can. If you can get in your luggage without it being broken on the way back, you can bring it back. We did that recently. Yeah.
Oh, it worked? Without being broken?
Yes, we did. Yeah. We also brought some mail back from Argentina. And we've done that before. So, yeah, because in California, you walk into the grocery store and get your wine. Yeah. So it's a really odd thing you don't have that here.
You do here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Phoenix,
yeah,
we go to the neighborhood supermarket and we have a huge selection of wines,
yeah,
and liquor. You don't so no
no
no wine is sold in a supermarket.
No,
interesting.
Only beer.
Interesting. I'll have to sneak some wine in for you.
and to be honest, I used to have some shipped to, because I'm so close to the border of Idaho. I had family that lives mostly all up in Idaho. I would have it shipped to them and go pick it up. I would take the hour and a half drive, 2 hours, right?
I would too. Hey, you know what? It works. So yeah, that's a good thing that you miss.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I'm from New York. I miss a good bagel.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Or a good pastrami on rye. Or cheesecake. It's always come back to food with me. I don't know why. That's why I can't
lose weight. Here we go. This is a food and wine blog.
Yeah, this is why I can't lose weight, because I'm always thinking of food. Yeah, I'm always salivating when I think of food. Anyway, okay, so living in Salt Lake City, what would you say are the cons? Are there any cons? There have to be cons.
Oh, there are, you know, again, different cons would be from my perspective, but, you know, the increasing cost of things have going up as far as housing, just crazy here. That's a con for people to be able to move here. Now it's a little bit more difficult. You know, for some people, the con would be the winter or the hot summer, but that to me, that's a non-issue. You know, the increasing, you know, homeless population, increasing crime, like most cities. Yeah, that's a con as well. You know, it didn't used to be like that here, but like everywhere else, it's a growing city, growing pains. Those are some of the cons. They're not there. They may not be keeping up with it as you know, the problem is increasing.
Yeah, those are kind of cons that pretty much, like you said, all cities or all growing cities that are been gentrified go through. It seems like that's the normal. No other cons for living there?
No, not that I could really think of. Just, yeah, no.
Okay. That's a good thing. So in wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to Salt Lake City?
Oh gosh, you know, there's been so many people live here or move here, like stay away. That's my advice, stay away. We have so many outsiders. I mean, don't move here, right? That's actually that a lot of the old time locals have that attitude, right?
Yeah.
With all the we had a large influx of people from New York.
Really?
State of New York and New York City, a large influx.
Why
into
is that?
Salt Lake. I think a lot of the financial industry or businesses have created a sub base here in Utah, and so they brought in a lot of that work here. So a lot of those New Yorkers moved in, and then Southern California, who all the you know the Central Valley and Southern California conservatives have moved to Utah. They wanted to get out of California and move to Utah.
Yeah.
So we had a large influx of California people move here. But yeah,
the conservative California people.
Yes.
Okay.
Who want to get away from that. So anyway, but yeah, as far as moving, I would suggest it's a great place. I think it's fine. It's, you know, it's not everybody's place to retire, but for a lot of people it is.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that move here. So we recently had neighbors move from New Hampshire to retire here.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you enjoy the winter months, it sounds like a really nice place. And again, I saw some pictures of a friend. There was a run. I don't know if it was a 5K, but it was through Salt Lake City a few weeks ago. She took pictures and it was just absolutely, to me, it was breathtaking. It was just beautiful because she had pictures of the runners in the front and the mountains were right in the back. I mean, she might have been blocks away from the mountains.
You know, you literally are. That's the way it is from downtown.
Absolutely right there. Beautiful. So, yeah, it's some place I definitely would like to check out. So, do you have any last, you know, words to our audience if they're thinking about relocating?
No, just research your areas where you want to live, where you might want to live. Do your research to verify if it's a right fit for you. Check out the community to make sure that's a good fit for you. And yeah, hit me up with a message if you have any questions.
Absolutely. I certainly will. Well, Dwayne, thank you so much for coming and being a part of the podcast. We do appreciate it.
You're welcome. And, thanks for having me.
Of course. And we'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.